Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. The first of a two-part interview with Steve Yeager, the Speaker of the Nevada Assembly. Here for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
We don't have a choice where we go to school, even if it's unsafe or we're being bullied. It's not fair. Every family should be able to choose the school that is best for us, not just the families who have a lot of money. Governor Lombardo wants to give every kid and every family the ability to go to a school where we can learn and where we're safe. He's fighting for us. Thank you, Governor Lombardo.
Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance, where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link, our plans are made for your plans.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City, from the home of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We are absolutely delighted and grateful to have the Speaker of the Nevada Assembly, Steve Yeager, join us, not just for one show, but for two shows, and we really appreciate you taking the time to do this. You're dropping an emergency bill today, a request at least, concerning autism. I looked at the bill last night, and the easiest way for me to explain it is to say, Steve, if you wouldn't mind explaining this bill.
Yeah, so that should get introduced today. There's actually two concepts in the bill. The first one relates to autism, and it's about protecting autism data from being shared unnecessarily. We're seeing some efforts at the federal government, particularly by RFK, to try to look at autism data. And I don't know what they're going to do with it, but so the bill protects that data to say you can't just give that data away unless there's a valid reason or a court order or it's used for treatment. So we don't have that protection in our law now. And then the second part of the bill relates to genetic testing for ancestry. So I think many folks might have seen, I think 23andMe recently went bankrupt. And so there's a question of what's going to happen with all those profiles and data that's in there. And there's a real concern that they're going to be sold for illicit purposes, or someone's going to get their hands on them that shouldn't. So the second part of the bill expands our protections on genetic testing and basically says, you know, you can't share or sell that information without the person's consent. And if you do that, it's actually a crime.
You know, going back to autism for a moment, you know, we covered this very heavily going back to the Gibbons administration. In fact, Jim Gibbons did more for the autistic community than most people will ever know. You know, he was not one for raising taxes, but he actually put money into that at a time when autism was not something that people really knew very much about. One of the big concerns back then, and still is today, is we took care of the kids to an extent. But as those kids grow up, a lot of them are never going to be able to lead normal lives. And the question is, what are we going to do with them as a state? Is that a discussion that's still being held today? I know the Autism Coalition of Nevada still does a lot of good work.
Yeah, it certainly is. And especially, you know, on the state side, I mean, we hear about that all the time through our agencies, like what kind of supports do folks need? And that, you know, we tend to think about young kids when we talk about supports, but we know that we have an adult community that needs support as well, whether that's living arrangements, whether that's, you know, appropriate job training. And sometimes that means full-time care. So those are discussions that happen at the legislature still, mostly in the budgeting framework of, you know, how much do we have to be able to allocate to that. Obviously, there's some federal component to that as well, but it is a discussion that continues to be ongoing.
Is that something that Opportunity Village would have an opportunity to, pardon the pun, to get involved with?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, Opportunity Village has been a real blessing to our community. They do such great work there, and they have a huge advocate in the legislature. One of my colleagues, Assemblymember Tracy Brown May, actually runs Opportunity Village, so she's done a really good job of just educating other members about all the different programs. Now, she has to abstain from a lot of votes since she works there, sure. And that's appropriate, but just amplifying what they do in the community, and we heard a lot of testimonials this year in the money committees about folks who have adult children, that's not really the phrase, but they have, right. You know, adults in their household that are getting services at Opportunity Village, and some even living there at Betty's Village, and how much of a blessing that has been.
Yes, and a shout out to Bob Brown, who has just been the leading light for that for so long.
Yeah, for sure.
I wanted to ask you about the deficit that we're seeing with the budget. Obviously, the number looks like a really large number, and there's, you know, discussion now about a bill to be able to basically get into the funds to be able to cover that gap. But my question to you is, you know, in the past, we saw where mining was asked if they would pay their taxes forward to be able to accommodate your shortfall in the state's budget. You know, gaming, despite the fact that the comparisons are terrible between this year and last year because of the Super Bowl, but actually gaming is doing very well. If you look at all the analysts, gaming is booming at this point and will continue to boom. Mining, you know, the prices have never been higher. Is there any discussion about reaching out to either of those organizations and saying, you know, is there a chance that instead of us having to go to the rainy day fund, that we would be able to get you to pay your taxes in advance or fees to be able to help cover the shortfall in that first part of the budget?
So we did not have those discussions this session, and the budgets are basically closed at this point, so those bills are being drafted. So it's not something we'll do this cycle. As you noted, we did that in the past with mining, and I think it was just last session that we said, you know, maybe we should undo that, because when you have someone prepay, there are a couple of issues that come up. Number one, you have to true up at some point later on in the year. That's not that complicated. But you really do set yourself up for a hole at some point, right? Because if you're ever going to reverse that decision and say you don't have to prepay, then there's going to be a budget hole for that particular year. And we saw that last year with mining, but we had a really healthy budget last session. And we thought, well, this is probably...
huge.
Yeah, we did. And so we said, this is probably the year to undo that. That's not to say we might not discuss that, you know, if we end up in a special session or if we go into the next legislative session and things are still really bad. But I think, you know, right now we're sort of comfortable with where we're at, and so we didn't ask that of them, and I don't think that was anything that we discussed, but and hopefully we won't have to in the future. But, you know, to your point, that was a real key to getting us through really tough economic times with the mining industry, so hopefully we're not in that situation, but always open to it.
Do you think that this is really a time to go after the rainy day fund? I mean, I know there's a lot of money in there, but when you see how much it cost us when unemployment went through the roof in previous recessions, and COVID, et cetera. Shouldn't we keep as much money as possible in the rainy day funding? I'm sure the Treasurer Conine is making money on that for the state.
Well, we're definitely going to need the rainy day fund if we end up in a special session. There's no doubt about it. But I think there's a couple of ways to look
at
this.
Okay, so you are looking at a special session?
Well, I still think it's likely we're going to end up in special session in September, October, when the federal budget gets figured out. I mean, I'm crossing both fingers that maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe there's some sense of normalcy there. I mean, Congress people and senators have to run for re-election, and slashing a bunch of services to all their constituents right before an election is not good. But I couldn't agree
with you more, by the way.
Yeah, I'm still preparing for that. But I think the way to look at the rainy day fund is, you know, there are automatic transfers that happen that go into the rainy day fund at the end of every legislative session. And so there's a transfer that's scheduled to be made that is around $300+ million. And I think the question is, does it make sense to be transferring more money into the rainy day fund given the budget situation that we're in now? I think the answer is probably no. So I wouldn't so much see it as pulling money out of the rainy day fund. I mean, technically maybe it is, but it's more suspending the transfer that was supposed to be made because the rainy day fund's at $1.3 billion right now. And I think getting us to $1.6 billion at the exclusion of being able to have a balanced budget and fund some of these programs, probably not the right thing to do right now.
One of the discussions going into the session was a concern about Medicaid. But it seems, as you say, and I've been kind of waiting for this because it seemed like the first response to the Trump administration's moves was from the judiciary. And now it's, as you say, people up for re-election. And I kind of felt that this was always going to be the way it was going to be, is that they are fighting back and saying, well, no, I mean, even with the reconciliation bill, you've got five Republicans where they need at least three who are saying no. One of them is on the fence because they are able to call back the bill. So it's really down to about three people that are really going to make the difference. But Congress is definitely getting involved at this point, even if it's in small numbers. But it appears that Medicaid is not in as much danger. Are you against the idea of having people work to be able to qualify for the Medicaid?
I think it just depends on the situation, right? I mean, saying that there's a work requirement, I think, sounds like a good idea, but every scenario is different, right? There are people that can't work, or there are people that...
Right, well, and understood, for sure.
Well, and there are people that, you know, if you want them to work, but, like, you know, their benefit's going to be the same whether they're working or not, you're not really incentivizing that. So I think if you're going to look at a work program, there's got to be incentives for the person to do it. So, you know, I'm not opposed to that discussion, but I think the narrative that somehow people are lazy and just living off the government dime and they don't want to work, that often overlooks what's really happening out there, right? Maybe jobs aren't available. Maybe the skill set's not there. Maybe the pay is really low. I mean, I'd love to see everybody working and making enough money that they don't have to be on government assistance, but we know that's never going to happen with all the low-wage jobs we have in this country.
And in this state as well. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back much more with the Speaker of the Nevada Assembly, Steve Yeager, after this timeout.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain. And for over 90 years, the Nevada Trucking Association has been the voice for the men and women in the trucking industry. From Carson City to Washington, D.C., we advocate for policies to protect our trucking companies and keep commerce flowing. Because Nevada's and America's prosperity is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino during the $150,000 Denim and Diamonds giveaways with cash and free play drawings every Thursday and Saturday, and $30,000 in grand finale giveaways Saturday, May 31st, including a top prize of $20,000 guaranteed. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Yeager. He's the Speaker of the Nevada Assembly. Off legislative topic, but definitely a topic in the state. What did you think of Congressman Amade putting in all the land issues into the reconciliation bill? And the reality, although a lot in the media don't seem to get this, is there has to be money going into the Treasury. It can't be money going to the state. Are you okay with what he did in terms, because nobody had gotten anything done since Senator Reid passed in terms of lands bills. So is it better to have a bunch of lands bills that are going to allow for economic development rather than none?
Well, you know, I think I've sort of been clear that I think we need more federal land. I mean, that is part of the solution. I don't know all the twists and turns that happened at the federal level, but it sure seems like he did that without talking to anybody else in the Nevada delegation. And I, you know, I think that's a problem, right? I mean,
he said that there was definitely conversations between staff.
That may have been true. I'm going by what the reaction was.
Right.
And the reaction.
Well, reaction seemed political to me.
Yeah. Perhaps. I mean, I guess I'll say, like, historically, you know, it's been a collaborative process. And to your point, nothing has happened since the passing of Harry Reid. But, you know, I think I'm definitely concerned about, you know, maybe the money can't come directly to Nevada, but there's always sort of been, I don't know how they did it, if it was handshakes or agreements that Nevada would benefit from the sale, you know, of that land. And so if that's not happening, I mean, I don't think that's good for the state, right? And maybe that was a testament to Harry Reid's power and influence.
Right, but that's not allowed in the reconciliation process. You can't take money. The money has to go to the federal treasury rather than going to the state. And also, I'm not a defender of Mark Hammaday in this. I'm just laying it out. The reconciliation process is the reconciliation process. And everybody's been working on lands bills, but nobody has been getting anything done. And Hammaday's point was that this was put together for the Southern Nevada Lands Act 30 years ago, and Nevada had benefited greatly. There's no chance to do that. Now all the states want, you know, the money going to the federal government. They don't want it going to individual states because everybody would like that. But they want the money going to the treasury so they can use it for other things.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hard part of that is, as you know, like we have the most amount of land controlled by the federal government of any state. So when you talk about it going to the treasury, right, I mean, it's in a sense, like we're subsidizing other states, right? I mean, think about how small of a population we have, but we have this huge, huge tracts of federal land. So, I mean, I think that part is a bit disturbing to me, right? There are other states that don't really have any land that are going to be sold. So why should the land here in Nevada be sold and that go to the Treasury to help, you know, the other 49 states? And I understand there's some procedural legal issues to it, but there's got to be a better way.
Okay, but the other side of it is you have an opportunity to do it now to be able to get land for Fernley, for Lyon County, for Pershing County, for Clark County. And there was an agreement between at least Marilyn Kirkpatrick and Jim Gibson on the county commission to get this done. Is it not better to have land now to be able to do economic development than no land? Because we're standing there saying, okay, unless we get the money. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no, I think that's a reasonable position. I'm not sure. It sure seems like the rest of our federal delegation wasn't happy about how it went down. So maybe, you know, maybe it's more of a process or a, you know, communication issue. But, you know, these are tough questions, right? I mean, and we can get five people in the room and we can get five different opinions about how much land and whether, you know, whether it makes sense. So, you know, obviously I'll defer to sort of some of the local folks who are really dealing with these issues on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, and let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about the legislature. And thankfully, you're here for two shows, so we have plenty of time. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
It happens. And when it does, there's UMC Quick Care.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Yeager. He is the Speaker of the Nevada Assembly. After Democratic lawmakers voted last week to reject the governor's request to fund raises for charter school teachers, you proposed a $38.6 million allocation for that purpose in AB 398, setting up a mechanism to ensure those dollars are used appropriately. What are the chances that this will be approved, and will it improve relations and communications with the governor?
So I want to be clear, we rejected the way in which the governor wanted to do the raises. And so, you know, that sort of caught fire in the media, but I think the Senate Majority Leader and I have been clear all session that we wanted to find a way to do charter school raises. We just didn't like the way that it was being proposed in the budget, because it was just handing the money to the charter schools without any sort of accountability of how many teachers you have, how many education support professionals you have, how big are the raises going to be. So we made that decision to reject the way the governor proposed it. We did say we were going to work on it, and that got, I guess the governor was upset about that. He did not communicate to us during our discussions that this was a huge issue to him. He talked about it in his State of the State speech, but that was months ago now. So, you know, after that happened, you know, we reached out to the governor and just said, you know, we're going to get this figured out. So I wanted, it was important to me that this wasn't something we were going to fight about in the media. It was always our intent to do it. So, you know, I proposed a way of doing it that provides some accountability, provides some transparency. I think the governor is going to be on board with that. I've had some good discussions with him about that concept. So I'm really hopeful we can get there. I spent this weekend working with the Charter School Authority about how is this going to work, because a charter school is a little different than a traditional school district. But I ultimately think we're going to get that figured out, and I think it's something the governor is going to sign, and it should help relationships in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so obviously the last session, there were 75 vetoes. It seems to me that you have been working to avoid 75 vetoes in this session, and you've been meeting. Are you continuing to have breakfast with the majority leader and the governor each week?
We have lunch on Wednesday afternoons.
Lunch. Okay.
And do, usually about an hour, but sometimes we go 2 hours.
Okay. And are you coming to a point where you're all agreeing for the benefit of the state rather than it being political?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're trying to tackle the big issues, right? And those are issues that we're all concerned about: housing, education, healthcare, economic development, the budget. So I think we are getting to a good place. That doesn't mean we agree on everything. You know, there are going to be vetoes this session. You know, I love to tell you that there are not going to be any vetoes. There will be. I mean, but I think what we know this session is, you know, where the governor is at on some of these things. And there have been some productive discussions where he or his staff will say, look, I can't sign this particular piece of legislation unless you change it. And then we can say, well, how do we need to change it? And the sponsor ultimately decides. But I think we're in a better place with 2 weeks to go this session than we were 2 years ago.
Are you comfortable we're going to get out on time?
I believe so. I mean, there's no reason we shouldn't get out on time. Communication is good. You know, the only complication I'll say is, you know, we just got the governor's education bill, and that is a massive bill with a lot of concepts. I don't know how many sections. I think it's 175 pages. So we only have 2 weeks to work on that. And it's if one of my members carried that piece of legislation, that would be like their signature piece of legislation. So I'm a little worried, because 2 weeks isn't a lot of time to be able to sort of get a handle on what's in there and where we agree. But that being said, I think we're in a good place to be able to end on time. And as long as communication stays open and people can just kind of let, you know, water be water under the bridge when folks are upset, I think we have a good chance of getting out on time.
The Death with Dignity bill died, but as we all know, nothing dies in a legislature until a signee die. Is there any chance that it can come back this session?
I think it's unlikely. The issue over in the Senate was the votes just weren't there for the bill. I mean, I think Assemblymember Dahlia worked really hard to get that bill through, but in talking to senators, you know, just there wasn't a way forward out of the Senate. So unless someone over there changes their mind on it, I just think there aren't the votes. So it's probably not going to advance this year.
Does this show the continuing power of the Mormon Church and also the continuing power of the Catholic Church in state issues like this?
I'm not sure. This issue is so unique compared to other issues. I mean, it really is bipartisan support and bipartisan opposition, and it's really personal to people. So, I mean, to the extent that you are a member of the Catholic Church or a member of the Mormon Church, you're probably going to be opposed, and particularly Catholic Church members. So, you know, I think it's more of just people's personal opinions or personal feelings, and obviously religion's a part of that.
And how do you feel about it? I mean, if you, Lord forbid that you were in that situation or a member of your family was in that situation, wouldn't you want the ability to take control of that and not have the state telling you what you could do when you could do it in such an awful manner, like buying a gun and ending the situation and leaving that to the EMTs to have to deal with?
Yeah, I'm a supporter of it. I think, you know, 1 year I was a co-sponsor of it, and I voted for it every time I've had the opportunity. I think it's good policy. I think it's the right thing to do. I think we can do it responsibly. You know, Oregon's been doing it for a long time.
And California.
But that being said, I have talked to colleagues on both sides of the aisle who are very, very opposed to it. And, you know, so I respect that, right? It is one of those very personal things. But I hope at some point we can get this through and get signed into law, because when you hear the stories of people at the end of life who are just really unnecessarily suffering, it's hard not to have sympathy for that.
All right. We're holding you over for a second show, which we really appreciate. So we'll come back and do our second show after we take this time out.
All hail the $200,000 Cash is King giveaways at Carson Valley Inn. Weekly prize drawings, including thousands in cash and free play. And two big grand prize giveaway events, each with a $15,000 cash winner guaranteed. Only at the Carson Valley Inn.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City, from the headquarters of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.